serious statewide sports talk. On your radio, digital radio, the app and streaming. RSN's Breakfast with Half with Daniel Harford.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Breakfast on RSN. Great to have your company on a magnificent Tuesday morning. Yes, second day of the working week. You're really humming now. You got through the first one. You are ready to roll. I know it. I can feel it in my bones. And we will help you start your day off the right way around these parts for the next 2.5 hours, talking about the world of sport and getting your take on it as well. Don't forget, you are welcome to join us anytime you like through the journey. A bit going on in the world of sport too, just by the way, and none bigger in the world of stories than the Man City situation in the EPL. And you heard from Johnny Bowden there in the 6 o'clock news, over 100 charges through a decade of time there for the City Group. I want to find out what's going on there, what it might mean going forward. And they're not going to get kicked out. You know that sort of stuff. Depends on how bad it is, of course. But they're not going to get kicked out. But what sanctions might be coming up for Manchester City? What does it mean for the players, the coaches, all that stuff? Ian Dantuk from TalkSport in the UK is going to join us to go through all that because that is a big, big story in the world of sport. We've talked about scandals and sagas in Australian sport in the last however many years, the Melbourne Storm scandal, obviously Essendon 10 years on, which is in the paper again today. Lots of stories about that in the paper again today, but this could be significant in the world of English football. So Ian Danton to join us not too far away. That's the biggest story in the sporting planet just at the moment. So we'll catch up with him soon. Mark Stevens with all the latest footy news through the morning as well. He is the AFL editor around these parts on RSN, does a hell of a job for us, and he's been sniffing. He was out the back. He was still sniffing when he got in this morning, just sniffing for news. He's a sniffer, is my man Steve-O. So we'll find out what he's got for us a little bit later on through the morning. We'll get you the early mail winners today. We've got Greyhounds today, as well as Thoroughbreds. We're at Warrigal with the dogs, and we're getting our Thoroughbred action as well from Kilmore. Today at 7 o'clock, we're going to get you the big yarn. Get involved in the big yarn and give us your take on the world of sport as you see it. A bit coming up with that. Valentino Gasselli is a young Aussie winter superstar, winter sports superstar. He's had a pretty big period. I want to find out more about him. Not a big household name of these days, but I want to find out more about him as we get ready for the next Winter Olympics. Sarah Jane Smith won the TPS Murray River on the weekend of the World of Australian Golf. Back-to-back wins for the gals in the TPS series. Min Ayoon last week in Rosebud. Sarah on the weekend at the Murray River. Backs up Hannah Green's win there last season. So the girls are dominating the TPS competitions at the moment. Scotty Jamieson's going to join us as well from Melbourne City. Well, he's part of the City Group, isn't he? He's part of the City Group. I haven't put that together until I just read his name. Right, I'll see how he feels about all that's going on there with his owners. And then more action coming up after 8 o'clock as well. So a bit going on today, and I'd love to get your take on the world of sport. 1-300-652-927 is the number to call. 0416-90-50-52 via the SMS. You can tweet us anytime you like at Breakfast with Half as well and get your take on the world of sport. We'll have, of course, the breakfast poll that Apprentice Mick is feverishly working on out the back at the moment. He's a little beaver, he is. He's a busy little fella out there, and he's got the poll ready to roll, I think, for us when he comes in to let us know what that is shortly. So we'll find out more about that through the morning. Off the SMS early doors from the press. Still bloody dark, Half. It is bloody dark. This is sort of winter darkness. What are we? We've just kicked into Feb. It does feel a little bit wintry driving in this morning. Just looking out the window to the world here at RSN, it is very, very dark. And I want to find out from Buttsy too how we went yesterday in the Wordle. He'd had a good weekend, although he'd been pantsed by his bride a couple of days in a row. He did fight back Sunday night, he tells me yesterday. I want to know how we went last night because, as we know, Steve-O and Jane, they're big Wordle nighttime action peoples. And so we'll find out how Steve-O went last night as well. It's taken the world before it, has Wordle. It's very, very interesting indeed. Indeed. I want to bring the owl in early doors here because I came across a story yesterday. I want to get the owl's take on this. And yours as well. It's not sport related. But I did have to do a double take when I saw the story yesterday. Al, good morning.
Morning, Daniel. Morning, all.
Morning, Richie. Morning, all. Sorry, I'm a bit late. Are you a coffee man?
Yeah. Oh, I know where you're going here.
What about this? If you know where I'm going, it doesn't really matter about the what about bit, but you'll know what I'm saying. Melbourne Cafe Group Proud Mary is serving up 22 cups of Black Jaguar coffee. That sounds a pretty sexy little coffee. I'll go there, Proud Mary in Collingwood, and just order a skinny Black Jaguar or something. Is that what I would do? I'm not sure what I would do with that. Probably not. No milk in this, I imagine, Al.
Definitely not.
And I'd expect to pay, $5, $6 maybe for a coffee. This Black Jaguar coffee that our friends are serving goes for $200 a cup.
Pardon?
$200 a cup.
Yeah.
Would you pay $200 as a coffee man for a drink of coffee?
No way. I wouldn't pay. I'm not the type of guy who goes for $200 for a bottle of wine or anything. So it'd nearly have to be liquid gold for me to be paying $200 or anything.
It is basically that, according to my man Nolan Hurty, who is the Proud Mary founder. He was on the judging panel of the Best of Panama competition. This coffee won first place at the prestigious Best of Panama competition, scoring 96.5 out of 100. Now, our man Nolan, he gets a bit emotional talking about coffee, as you can imagine, if you're going to be sitting on a panel in the International Coffee Stakes. When you taste coffee that complex, it can be hard for the brain to comprehend, says our man Nolan. Sometimes I've choked up and almost wanted to cry.
I heard our man. I saw this story on Channel 10 News last night.
He wants to cry.
And one of the guys who was tasting, it might have been our man Nolan, he said it had hints of frozen strawberries.
Frozen strawberries?
Will this be making an appearance at Mabel Jones?
Well,
the finest cafe in town?
Well, 67 Grimshaw Street in Greensboro. It is the finest cafe in the northern suburbs, possibly the planet. Not quite sure. I haven't got that official yet. But I would be surprised. I'd be surprised if the Black Jaguar was able to be secured, firstly, by the team at Mabel Jones, and then the good people of Greensboro want to be paying $200 a coffee. I'm not sure that's going to be happening.
What about our good friends Dennis and Chow up at Books and Bites after our show? Yeah. Do you think they'll have that on the menu?
I'd be surprised if Dennis and Chow were serving the Black Jaguar today. $200 a pop. Sometimes I've choked up and almost wanted to cry. With the Black Jaguar, I was getting an out-of-body tingle that felt special. That's what our man Nolan was telling me.
Come on, Nolan. It's just coffee, mate.
96.5 out of 100, mate.
Would you ever pay $200 for that?
Not a chance. No way.
No.
No way. Apparently the farmers, though, are getting $200,000 US for 100 pounds of coffee. That's a lot of money. So I don't know. He reckons it's like the whole champagne truffle or the big bottle of wine, whatever it works. But that seemed excessive to me. I'm not sure the team at Mabel Jones will be serving too many Black Jaguars in that one. Funny stuff. It's funny stuff. Off the SMS, you're entering Anchorman areas here. Black Jaguar coffee, it's made from real Jaguar, so you know it's good, says Millsy. I don't think so.
Early contender for Devil Bend action there.
Well, yes. Well, that's right, yes. Our best contributors through the morning get a chance to win a double pass to play golf at Devil Bend Golf Course in Moorooduck. It's a magnificent golf course down there in the peninsula. devilbendgolf.com.au. So get involved on the open line or the SMS 1300 652 927 or 0416 90 50 52. Black coffee is a bludger of a coffee. What's that mean, Krazza? What's that mean?
Steve, I'm not sure. Steve would be the type to go the Black Jaguar, I reckon.
Oh, that is so true.
He's a status man.
He is a status man. On the island of Richmond where he lives, yep. He'd be all over there.
Real 312 on areas.
That's a good point. It's hard enough to get my mates to spring for a latte at normal prices, let alone $200. Another one coming through. $200 for a cup of coffee is ridiculous. I struggle to pay $200 for a decent bottle of whiskey, says Jace in Craigieburn. $200 for anything's expensive.
Yep.
Unless you're buying a house. But I'm not sure you're getting it for $200. It's not something too many people are up to. But I think, as the story says, there's only 22 of them. So there's probably 22 people out there that want to do this. 22 Steve-O's that want to have some status action.
Yep.
To be a part of the club to say that I've had the Black Jaguar. Too lazy to put milk in. for black coffee. You're too lazy. Nathan Builder's telling us I'd pay that and drink it if I knew that Margot Robbie had a bath in it. That's an interesting take on things, isn't it, Nath? But do your thing, I suppose, whatever works for you. Righto, there's a lot of feedback about the coffee coming through. Keep it coming through, 1-300-652-927 or 0416-90-50-52. Now, I'm not sure what's been happening in the world of sport overnight. Maybe there's some people out there that have been having lots of coffee and been performing admirably on a real adrenaline kicks. Al, can you help us out with the world of overnight sport?
I can indeed. As you touched on earlier, the big story in the last 12 hours or so, the Premier League has charged Manchester City with more than 100 breaches of its financial rules following a four-year investigation. So I'll just leave that there. We'll just tease that more with Ian Dander from TalkSport coming up from the UK after the break. But that is a huge story. So I think they can expect some significant sanctions. To what degree, time will tell. But yeah, not a great story there for Manchester City, who are in the race for this year's title, 5 points adrift of Arsenal after their shock defeat at Tottenham yesterday.
That's the big one. That is absolutely the big one. And Ian Dance is going to help us out, as you said, very, very shortly.
Staying on the Premier League, Leeds manager Jesse March has been sacked after less than a year in charge. It follows their 1-0 loss at Nottingham Forest yesterday. In cricket, the Aussie women have beaten India by 43 runs in a T20 World Cup warm-up match in Cape Town. Meanwhile, at stumps on day four in Brisbane, Australia's under-19s lead the England under-19s by 21 runs with 6 wickets remaining. The Pebble Beach Pro-Am finished this morning after being weather-delayed, and England's Justin Rose holds the trophy. He won the tournament by 3 shots. Aaron Baddeley, Bads.com, was the best of the Aussies. He finished in the tie for 37th, 13 strokes behind the winner. So well done to Justin Rose.
When was the last time he won a tournament?
So very good run there a couple of years ago where he was winning for fun, but I think he's had a lean trot of it in recent times. And a decent story here, one we might follow up with later in the week. The National Hockey League is in line to become just the second of North America's big four sporting competitions to bring a regular season fixture to Australia, and it could happen as soon as this year.
So hang on, the NHL?
Yeah.
Where are they going to play it?
Well, I've heard that in Melbourne it would be Marvel Stadium at the end of the footy season.
Marvel Stadium. They'd bring the ice in. They'd slide the ice in at Marvel.
I think it'd be marvellous.
Oh, nice work from you. Nice work from you, Richie.
Would you go?
I would go. Yeah, I think I would.
I'd like people that go to the hockey in the States say it's just ridiculous. Like, it's not my number one North American sport, but I'd love to go. And the people that I know that have been, as I said, in the States said it's been a great experience. So, yeah, no, I'd definitely try and attend that one.
I have been to the hockey in the States. I went, in fact, when I'm going to say slide the ice in, that's what they did at the United Arena, United Center, in Chicago. So one night we watched the Blackhawks play the Flyers, and the next night we watched the Bulls play the Sixers in the same venue. It's a very impressive situation, though, to just roll the ice in.
Were you with the world champ, or was it
a trip? No, this was a footy trip. This was 1997, I reckon, back in the old days. So, we saw the Flyers play the Blackhawks, which was really cool. And it's the first, obviously, hockey experience I'd had. And it was a great game. Live, it's a better game than TV. TV, it's not a bad sport, I reckon, the ice hockey. But live, it's a very, very cool
I do
sport.
Find it difficult on TV to see the puck
well,
sometimes.
Well, this is the thing. Sometimes, I think at the venue, you can, for whatever reason, on my experience, you can see the puck easier. Mm. And you need to really see what's going on with the puck. You need to know where the ball is.
Very important.
Yes.
Just before I sign off and we go to the break, big night on Maths last night, the first dinner party.
Oh.
Harrison and Jesse got torn a new one. So for more information, go to Twitter and follow Juppy. You'll be all over it.
What did Mum say? What did Mum say about it? Was she
she was all over it. She was laying the boots into those two dribblers.
Who's Mum's favourite?
There's a young couple who are quite smitten. The lady, unfortunately, has cystic fibrosis, but they're a very nice couple, very good to each other, good people, and I think love's going to win the day there.
Well, but that's not good for TV, is it? Nice people.
Oh, you have the heroes and the villains, though, so you can have the good, it's light and shade, you know how it works.
I know.
I'm sure Billy knows how it works, too.
I reckon we might need to give your mum a call one morning to get an update. See how she's tracking and see what she reckons about the latest in maths. So dinner party night. Okay. I'm not sure what that means, but it sounds exciting. Billy is in Yarrawonga. He's giving us a call early doors, 1-300-652-927. Great to have you on the line, Bill. Good morning.
Yeah, morning, Harv.
What do you got for us?
Well, I heard about the coffee story, and I thought sometimes you get that very special long neck that just has a hint of strawberries in it, and it nearly makes you cry.
How many long necks are around these days? Well, I haven't seen a long neck for a long, long time.
You go through a special bottle shop, and they already have them wrapped in a brown paper bag for you.
That's a great system. Brown paper bag ready, long necks, with a hint of frozen strawberry.
Well, on the occasion, yeah, if you're willing to pay up for it, it's there.
You must have a very, very sensitive palate, Bill.
Well, we do in the northeast half, yeah.
Sounds like a plan to me. Nice work. Thank you for being involved in the program. You're in the running for the round of golf at Devil Bend for getting involved. 1-300-652-927. That hint of frozen strawberry from our man with the coffee. And in, what's a frozen strawberry taste like? Isn't the frozen part sort of take out all the taste?
I got no idea. Dried strawberries with chocolate on top is very good.
Yeah, I'll cop dry, and I'll cop frozen as a thing you chuck in the smoothies, because that's where you got to keep them. But don't tell me there's a hint of it in the coffee. There's no coffee fields having frozen strawberries in it.
No coffee here.
I don't know.
A bit of chili peppers to the break. First concert in Australia tonight.
I did see the set list released in the paper today. The set list was released, of course, Grammys yesterday. There's lots of music action going on yesterday.
Are you a Chili Peppers man?
I'm a Chili Peppers man. I wouldn't say I'm a devotee, but I'm a Chili. I think most people have got a level of affinity for the Peppers, haven't they? So the set list in Sydney was Intro Jam, which is just where they jam. Around the World, Danny California, Scar Tissue, Aquatic Mouth Dance, Other Side, The Drummer, Tip of My Tongue, Right on Time, Eddie, I Could Have Lived, Lied, sorry, Carry Me Home, Californication, The Heavy Wing, Black Summer, By the Way, Soul to Squeeze, and Give It Away, Give It Away, Give It Away, Give It Away Now.
That's
to
a
finish.
Good, that's a good form, God.
Give It Away, Give It Away Now. You want Ray Warren singing that song? Give It Away Now. Good tune. It's a good tune. 23 past 6 on a Tuesday morning. Nice to have your company wherever you are listening across the globe. The Peppers are in town. Flea was hanging out with some young lasses on the Bondi Sands last week. 60-year-old man just working the magic up a treat. So I saw on the socials. I wonder what he's up to in Melbourne town. By the way, Justin Rose hasn't won for ages. Went through his record, at least since mid-2021. Hasn't won until that Pebble Beach Pro-Am victory today. So well done to Justin Rose. Now, Manchester City have won a lot in the last decade. But overnight, the big story in the world of sport is that they have been charged with over 100 offences by the Premier League for some little misdemeanours going on in terms of financial record-keeping and transparency. And I want to find out what that might mean for them going forward. 100 is a lot. Ian Danter. He's from TalkSport in the UK, and I'd like to know if he's a Chili Peppers fan. Hello, Ian.
Yeah, hi, Daniel. You're right, mate.
I'm going well, mate. Going well. You're a Chili Peppers man, Ian?
Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah. I've never seen them live, but Blood Sugar Sex Magic is, that's right up there. I mean, I've loved, Chad Smith is one of my favourite drummers, and he's on that album, those drums just sound immense. I love that record.
There you go. Look at you getting all music-y on me. That's magnificent stuff from you. Hey, I was going to bed last night, Ian, and news was filtering through about these charges laid by the Premier League against Manchester City. Over 100 of them, which is a lot. Ian, what is this? Break it down for us. What is actually happening?
Well, the Premier League have been investigating Manchester City for some years. This all originated because a German newspaper, Der Spiegel, back in 2018, they started reporting allegations against the way that Manchester City were operating their finances with regard to what they were declaring in terms of sponsorship income and where the sponsorship money was coming from. Then further stories emerged about a previous manager, Roberto Mancini, and whether his salary was being added to by nefarious means. He was earning more than they could. He was, and just there's a number of, as you say, over 100 breaches have been alleged by the Premier League over a period, you know, pretty much a decade's worth of transgressions that the Premier League believe happened. Manchester City released a statement within an hour or so of the Premier League releasing their statement, and as you might imagine, they've robustly denied the allegations that have been thrown at them. And now it's going to go to the courts, and it's going to go to an independent commission who are going to look at the detail. And it's funny, Dan, it's quite ironic that this announcement has been made by the Premier League a couple of days before there's the potential for an independent fan-led review into football to be ratified by the British government, which would mean that the Premier League would no longer have, you know, complete control over investigating things that happen under its watch, sort of thing. So there's all sorts of strands to this, but the big strand is Manchester City, who have won so many trophies, are, you know, particularly in the modern era, of course, with the ownership from the Gulf States who've been in charge since 2008, it's all being queried as to the legitimacy of those wins and those trophies.
Is the timeline interesting in your eye? It's the first thing that sort of popped up to me. The City Group took over, the Saudi Bay City Group took over in 2008, and all of a sudden from 2009, according to these allegations and breaches, things have gone a little bit, differently there at Manchester City.
Well, it's an easy parallel to draw, isn't it? You know, you can look at that and it looks fairly cut and dry, but who knows? I mean, the specifics interest me with regard to the allegations basically center around, I suppose you would call it creative accounting, I suppose, in terms of how Manchester City presented their financial records, and the Premier League alleged that they're not accurate. And financial fair play, of course, has been a very important topic in European football particularly, and certainly in the Premier League, as the Premier League has started to really pull away from the other major European leagues in terms of the money spent on players. You'll have seen, I'm sure, Daniel, the difference in the money paid by Premier League clubs in the recent transfer window compared to all the other major leagues around Europe. It's a lot of money sloshing around in the Premier League.
There is a lot of money sloshing around in the Premier League. It's big business, and it's high profile, and there's ego involved with all this sort of stuff when we get to these levels. Ian, I just wonder what are the possible sanctions for Manchester if they're found to be guilty, and there's obviously a due process to go through and all that sort of stuff. But we've had, I'm not sure if you're aware of the Melbourne Storm scandal more than a decade ago around these parts, where they were stripped of titles for a second set of books that were breaking all the rules. Are these the possibilities for Manchester City if it goes wrong?
Well, there's all sorts of possibilities. I mean, an example in Europe in recent times was Juventus being relegated, two divisions, and having titles stripped away from them for breaches of law in Serie A. So the interesting thing with this is that with regard to the Premier League and these, you know, allegations that have been made, there's no statute of limitations that Manchester City can call upon.
Yep.
You know, sometimes in other federations, then there's a certain cut-off point past which time, you know, you can't be charged, but that doesn't exist in this point. The fact that it's, you know, over a decade ago means nothing. So the potential could be anything from points deductions to relegations and expulsion from the Premier League. But this is all speculation and supposition at the moment as to what could be done, because what do they do? Do they issue, if, let's say, as you say, there's over 100 breaches, do they issue a penalty for each breach, or do they put it under one, you know, whole umbrella punishment for all the breaches put together? Do they have to go over a certain number of breaches that are found to be true before they... I don't know. There's so many whys and wherefores with this. We're in such unprecedented territory with this. But you know and I know that Manchester City will fight their case really strongly to make sure that, I mean, they've said they want this once and for all decided once and for all with their statement, which was pretty short and sweet. You'll have seen that on the Manchester City website, that they're quite adamant that there is no case to answer here.
What do you reckon the old budget is for the Manchester City legal team on this? Any idea on the budget?
Well, I could imagine they could do like Steve Montgomery Burns in The Simpsons and have as many lawyers as they want up against, and the Premier League could have Lionel Hutt. You know, it could be that. I mean, in all seriousness, the Premier League, which has gone through some difficult times in recent years with changes in chief executive, you know, Richard Scudamore left his post, you know, and the Premier League has been queried for the way it's run the game in this country. It must feel that it has a watertight case to bring to take on a club of the might and the muscle of Manchester City.
It's a good point.
But then Manchester City have said straight away that these charges are incorrect, they're bogus, and they will fight them vigorously. There is no right of appeal. If a ruling is handed down and Manchester City disagree with it, under the laws, they cannot go to the Court of Arbitration and appeal that decision.
Right.
So if a decision is reached, it's binding.
Well, sounds like there's going to be a bit to play out with all this, and there's a lot to read and absorb when you're finding out more about these charges that have been laid by the Premier League against Manchester City. Can't wait to find out more and how it goes. Ian, always great to chat to you, mate. Look forward to doing it again soon. Take care.
Cheers, fella. Thank you.
Victoria's statewide sports talk. On your radio, digital radio, the app and streaming. RSN's Breakfast with Half with Daniel Harford.
Great to have your company on a Tuesday morning, up and about, second day of the working week. You're flying, I can tell you. I can see it in your eyes. You're flying today and you're ready to go. And that is good business. No balloon action in the window to the world here at RSN at this stage. If you've got any evidence, let us know where those balloons might just be. No, so nothing I can see out the back at the moment. Sarah Jane Smith's going to join us, winner of the TPS Murray River across the weekend of the World of Golf. First win in 15 years. I'm very, very keen to chat to her about that and find out how she's feeling after that, because she dominated proceedings up there on the Murray and did a great job. 1 by 5, I think it was, maybe even 6, on the weekend. So she was a dominant performance. Scotty Jamieson is one of our all-time favourites, captain at Melbourne City, and on the back of the Manchester City scandal, the charges laid overnight by the Premier League. I wonder what he thinks about all that, let alone what's happening with his club and his competition at the moment, which is going to be coming up in the big yarn too, just at the minute. So we'll have a chat about that shortly. But Scotty Jamieson, not too far away. We are going to be joined as well, just being told. I'm looking forward to this, by Liam Wilson. Now, we spoke to Barry Michael last week about the fight with Liam Wilson and Emmanuel Navarrete on the weekend. Wilson knocked him down for the first time in his career, and there was a big, long 27-second count, according to the watchers of the fight on the weekend. And there's been a lot of conversation in the back of that, that we need to have a rematch and cancel that outcome and go again. So we're going to have a chat to Liam Wilson himself. He's going to join us from the States. That is very cool. Looking forward to that very, very shortly. There's a story today, too, about a possible matchup with George Kambosos, Liam Wilson and George Kambosos, next time for those two combatants. So a bit happening in the world of boxing, and we'll have a chat to Liam about that through the morning as well on RSN Breakfast. Don't forget Michael Falgate picking things up on Racing Pulse at 8:30, and there's some track work at Sandown today. There's some big names going around. Thunderstruck's been out there doing its thing. We might try and get out to Dan Huddy and have a bit of a track watch update for us on Breakfast and find out how the big star on Thunderstruck went this morning ahead of a big campaign coming up for him. All right, so let's get to the big yarn.
On Breakfast with Half, it's the big yarn. Well, I won't back down.
No, I won't back down. The big yarn today, The biggest story in the world of sport is the Manchester City story, no doubt about that. But the big yarn today is actually our poll. I think what we're seeing in the last probably 12 months, I reckon. I think it's more than just this season, probably last 12 to 15 months, is that the NBL and the Professional Basketball League in Australia is overtaking and perhaps has overtaken the A-League and the professional soccer competition in the country. And I think when we get to a position where there's so much dissent within the ranks of the rank and file from a supporter group in a particular sport, and that's the A-League, and there's so much energy in another one, which is the NBL, I don't think there's any danger of this poll being anywhere near that soccer hasn't been overtaken by, or the A-League hasn't been overtaken by the NBL in Australian sport in terms of the preferred summer sport. Now, obviously, cricket's a big thing. We know all that, and that's going to be there. That's a staple for most Australians, well, certainly lots of Australians. But with the evolution of the NBL, the performance that Larry Kesselman and Jeremy Lolliger have put on to get this position where the NBL is now the dominant force in the marketplace through a summer campaign, I don't think we've seen anything quite like it since World Series cricket, the impact that administrators have had on a sport. Kerry Packer, of course, was that man from a cricket perspective to take one-day cricket, to take colour clothing, the lights and all that sort of stuff and transform the game. Now, we haven't transformed the game with the NBL. It's still the same sport and the same game and the same rules and all that sort of stuff. But what they've been able to do in terms of give it life and breathe oxygen into it to a point now where it has become the sport du jour for sports fans through a summer campaign, I think is nothing short of extraordinary. And the A-League, despite the fact that there is participation numbers through the roof in soccer, which is great. Kids out there doing anything and young people out there doing any activity is a great thing. Despite the fact that heaps of people out there participating, it's not translating to success from a broadcast or an attendance or an interest level perspective when it comes to the A-League. I really want to talk to Scotty Jamieson about this later on, but the Owls, our basketball guru around these parts, and I'm sure he's got a take on this that I'm keen to get across the airwaves this morning. Al, what's your take on the poll this morning that the NBL has overtaken the A-League as the preferred summer sport?
Yeah, I'm with you, Daniel. No doubt for me that it has. And I think one key factor in this for me is basketball in the NBL seems to be united at the moment, whereas I think this appears from the outside, so yep. I don't know this well enough, but my uneducated opinion and view is that there seems to be fractures within football, and obviously the events of the past couple of months haven't helped the A-League and football in this country. We had so much success at the World Cup, and then only weeks later we had that unsavoury incident at Amy Park, and that's, I think, set the game back. And I just think basketball, under the leadership of Larry Kesselman, seems united and has done such a fantastic job. The crowds in Sydney this season are unbelievable. Like, these are back to the halcyon days of the Glasshouse. They are very, very strong. I'm certainly with the NBL on this one.
Yeah, it's hard to dispute it, I think. And we'll get more updates on the poll through the morning from the apprentice Mickey at the back, who's doing a great job for us. Off the SMS, Krasner says, maybe that all that means is soccer supporters don't listen to your show. No, I don't think that's an opinion that Kraz has got. I mean, he's entitled to that. But I don't think you could pinpoint it to just our audience. I mean, the numbers would suggest that basketball has transformed itself in the last couple of years. It's got publicity, it's got energy, it's got unity. I think that's a really good point you raise. It's got unity, whereas soccer, and we spoke to Richard Wilson last week, the A-League, he was former director of Melbourne Victory and a shareholder still. There seems to be so much bickering, and this is one of the things that's held us back for years. All these agendas and different people who wanted to dominate the sport and dominate the administration. Basketball doesn't have that, whereas the A-League certainly seems to have that. Now, the former soccer guru Craig Moore, who's working out the back these days for us on RSN, has jumped into the studio to have a say on this conversation. Good morning, former Socceroo.
Let's be clear, Half. Now, I'm not the former Socceroo. I'm just some bloke that works out the back.
I'm not so sure about that.
No, I mean, it's a really fascinating conversation, I think. It's, I've got young kids as well, but my youngest kid, he plays basketball, but also he wants to play soccer. Now, I think basketball has taken the mantle ahead of soccer, but I also think it's got a lot to do with what seems to be the regeneration of the NBA.
Yep, no, that's fair.
And I'm seeing it again. Like back in the early 90s, NBA was huge, and I think it helped with the NBL in Australia. And I think we're seeing that again. the capturing of LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and Ben Simmons and all the big names of the NBA, it's also making the participation levels back here in Australian basketball grow. But also that you know you can watch the NBL consistently, regularly on ESPN. Whereas the A-League, I just think, seems to be lost.
Well, you can't find it.
You don't know where it is.
I don't know how to find it. I don't have a Paramount subscription, so probably that's an issue for me in that regard. But it's just another bloody button I don't want to press.
You can also watch it on free-to-air, Peach, and channel some of the Channel 10 sister channels.
They have live games
that are on free-to-air as well.
And I imagine the impact is also from the EPL being moved from Fox Sports to Optus.
Yep.
Or is it Optus? Yep. Yeah, it is. That people just... It's another subscription they don't want to pay for, that they had their Foxtel box and they had their Fox Sports coverage. And the EPL was awesome. Like Friday night, Saturday night, late night after...
How good.
Come home and there's always a game on. It was the best.
You won millions on the punt and then you have a nice dinner and then you roll into a nice Premier League game at 11 o'clock.
And now you watch it on a little screen, on your phone screen. I've got 57 inches on the TV, on the wall, and I can't watch it.
And I mean, we also talk about the international, the Australians playing at international level. I mean, I think Harry Suter, correct me if I'm wrong, Al, is the only Australian to be playing in the Premier League at the moment. I remember the likes...
Is that right?
The likes of Tim Cahill and Mark Viduka, Harry Kewell, Mark Schwartz, who was keeper at the time as well. All these Australians are playing in the Premier League. Right now, I think, I'm sure someone will correct it if it's wrong. I'm pretty sure that Harry Suter is the only Australian playing in the Premier League. Look at the NBA. We've got Josh Giddey, Ben Simmons, Kyrie Irving, Joe Ingles are now at the Bucks. I mean, all these Australians are playing in the NBA.
It's
Josh Green.
Josh Green, yeah, Green. Tybal. So, I mean, but it's a good conversation to have, and I'm sure basketball's well and truly leapt above soccer.
If the poll is reflecting the SMS traffic, it's going to be basketball hands down. Get some numbers out of the Ballarat District basketball. Numbers are through the roof. What have we got? Not a fan of either sport, but I'll watch the NBL game anytime ahead of a soccer game. The NBL has closed the gap in quality between itself and the NBA, which is a popular product. The A-League has drifted further away from the EPL. This is a bit what our Graham Arnold was saying last week when we spoke to him too, that the biggest challenge almost for Football Australia is to, even though they don't control the A-League anymore, is to get that right and make it a competition that's going to be be a nursery for stars to go over to the EPL or the La Liga or wherever else and have an impact. And we don't get that much these days from the soccer players.
And is that going back to his point around it starting at the centre of excellence, which doesn't exist?
Yeah.
No home?
Yeah. I think there's a lot. I think Graham Arnold's got a really good helicopter view of the problems of soccer in Australia, and it just needs support from someone to back it in and make it something. And if you can get that, then all of a sudden you transform the game from a public perspective as well and get it off bloody Paramount.
Yeah. Another interesting...
Robbie Slater was talking about that last week. I wrote an article about that they've sold their soul and it's significantly
affected. How did that... I'm still miffed as to how all that happened.
It was just cash.
The Fox Sports coverage of the A-League was as good a local product, well, many of us would say apart from the AFL and racing and whatnot, but it was as good as a product that you could find.
Yeah, Paramount obviously offered more money and they jumped. I mean, it's simple economics, isn't it?
It's bottom line TV. Yeah. It's bottom line decisions, isn't it, rather than growth decisions.
Another interesting point, I think, is everyone I hear from, and even the chatter on social media, and this might be the case with football in this country as well. I might just be oblivious to it. So if you're out there, please correct me if I'm wrong. But everyone I hear from that takes their family to the NBL, especially for the first time, say what a great experience it is in terms of it being an activity to take their kids, the interaction, shooting balls outside the venue, the halftime entertainment, that sort of thing. As a product, basketball, it doesn't take long. You're there, you're inside, comfortable, warm, all that sort of stuff. The kids have a great time. I don't know whether that exists in football.
Well, that's absolutely relevant. And we saw that through the incident at Amy Park the other day. And you, I think you were there, former Socceroo, Craig Moore, at that Melbourne City and was it Melbourne City Victory game?
Yeah, that was just before Christmas.
Yeah, so you were there that day with your kids.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah, I took them for the first game that they've ever been to.
First game ever. My hat.
They won't forget it.
They've ever been to it. I mean, it had such a good feel to it. Like the atmosphere was pre-Christmas, and I mean, I remember at the time we were kind of warned about the protest that was going to happen, I think, at the 20th minute mark.
Yep.
And as that moment approach, you can think, oh, no, something's going to happen. And then just, can I use the word dickheads? They just overtook and just went on a rampage. And, I mean, God, there was just the moment where there was 30 minutes of wait until there was any communication as to what was going on that day. And I remember just walking away thinking, man, oh, man, the A-League's just really shot itself, not only in the foot, but in the upper body as well. I mean, it was just a real gut punch for the code, and I don't. It's going to take a long time to recover from that.
I want to talk to Scotty Jamieson about this. He's coming up just before 8 o'clock this morning, because I think it's a conversation that needs to be had. Because, and he'll be sitting there going, well, hang on a second, we're dominating. Melbourne City are dominating. We're the best team in the business. We place a really good brand of footy, and they do. But the PR machine and the angst between stakeholders is a massive issue, let alone the back office stuff that Graham Arnold's been talking about. So we'll touch on that more with Scotty Jamieson. It's the poll this morning at Breakfast with Half on Twitter and RSN927. Has the NBL overtaken the A-League as the summer sport of choice for fans?
Can I just add one more point, which I've just thought of? I don't think the decision to have the grand finals in Sydney for the next few years has helped either.
Unhelpful. Some administrative howlers.
Again, political infighting, stakeholders disagreeing, no communication, cash grab.
That seems to be the killer for a lot of these sports that are trying to find their spot in the calendar, which is hard enough as it sits anyway. 18 past 7, we'll get to a break. I'm going to have a chat to, I want to find out how Dan Huddy's going at Sandown after the break. I want to get some updates from some of the big yarns from out there, because some of the best horses are working this morning. I'm Thunderstruck, probably the headline act out there, and I'll find out how we went this morning. And we'll chat to Steve as well. He's got some more footy news for us.
Here's RSN's AFL editor, Mark Stevens.
You know your big news around these parts when you've got your own intro. Mark Stevens is the biggest of big news on Breakfast on RSN. We love his work. In fact, it's not just Breakfast. You're taking yourself to all the shows on the pro, on the network.
Yeah, I've got to know a lot of the talent very well. John
Henry.
It's
a bit distressing.
Shawnee Cosgrove. There's some good operators.
I thought we were mates.
I've had to spread myself across some good operators out there.
You were sort of tight with me like you are with Oleg Markov.
Yeah.
That's what I thought you were. Yeah. But anyway, you're sharing your love, and we think that's great around these parts. Stephen?
Yes, that's right. I might have another little scoop.
Oh!
This is a close one to watch. Now, Tony Cochran.
Yes.
Big figure at the Gold Coast Suns. A big figure.
There's not too many bigger figures in football than Tony Cochran.
No, that's right.
In terms of impact.
Real headline grabber.
My word, he is.
And I like his style. He's been a real constant up there. Just a few murmurs. This is certainly one to watch that he may be departing as chairman of the Suns. So just watch this space there.
Standing down.
Well, there's a deputy chairman, Bob East, or another director, Paul Scurrah, that's in line as potential replacements. Both are life members, long-time board members. So not definitive at this stage, but certainly good sources saying that Tony Cochran has been huge. I mean, he did the pre-game entertainment in the grand final, a real character up there on the Gold Coast. Just might be time for him to step aside, but we'll wait and see.
Righto, okay, all right. So he might be standing down as the chairman of the Gold Coast Suns. Who is the chairman, president, chairperson with the biggest sort of impact these days? Eddie's gone. Jeff's gone.
Most of them are low-key.
That's what I'm sort of getting at. Yeah.
Would be Tony Cochran.
Is Tony Cochran the biggest sort of name, I suppose, in terms of football?
I'd say Jeff Brown now.
Well, but we don't hear much from Jeff, do we?
No, which is surprising. I thought we'd hear more from him. But
Tony comes out, and he comes out swinging.
Yeah.
And he's got to stand up and protect his sort of turf up there, because they're the ones that have been constantly bashed, the Gold Coast Suns, for a decade or more. So he's doing the right thing. He's fighting the fight that he needs to fight. But I don't think in terms of club leadership we have many more dynamic personalities than Tony Cochran, do we?
No, we used to have the bigger names. I mean, Sporgo, Eddie. But,
Jack.
Yeah.
But Big Jack.
They fall into line now. It's very much AFL-driven. There's not too many renegades out there like there used to be.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing, do you
think? I think it's a bad thing. Because we used to go to the presidential lunches. Obviously, John Elliott used to whack people. Remember, they used to do a speech before games and get political on issues? But everyone's very careful now, which is not a bad thing. But, you know, we like a few headline grabbers a half. So perhaps as early as next month, there could be a change there up at the Suns. And I think the Suns are a chance to really propel this year. Well, I think they're a chance for the
no Oleg Markov, so it's going to be a challenge.
No, they'll
for
miss
them.
Him off half back. But he's got options. He's going that well. Collingwood and Carlton now in the mix. But yeah, just repeating Tony Cochran. I watch this space on his
all
future.
Right. Good, Stephen. This is
the
good.
Suns. Now, an interesting one, just quickly. Good story in The Age, I think, if you're a St Kilda supporter. So what they're doing is trying to take ownership of Bayside. And it's a nice place to be. I mean, they're at Moorabbin, and you can live along the coast. So they're looking at drafting in locals, but also, like a Geelong, keeping an eye on ex-locals. Like, say, Josh Sinn, who's a Sandy Dragons boy, is over at Port Adelaide. So the theory is that, I know you have to do this through draft and trading as normal, but just to get everybody together in a Bayside, warm, fuzzy area, a Geelong-type model. Simon Lethlean says North can't do it. They've got about an 800-square-metre area to work in, a small suburb. So we've got this whole region. So I think that's a good move by the Saints.
That makes, you know what that does? It makes perfect sense. Perfect sense to make it a bit Geelong-esque and keep players in the region.
And they've got the Dragons in-house down there.
Yeah.
At the same footy club training. So make it a, obviously you can't have a zone, but you can do a quasi-zone and just formulate through that. Take locals. And we've seen what happened with a lot of the go-home factor. Maybe create, they've got a great advantage with that growing region. You can go all the way down to Portsea.
Well, it's slightly extreme, but we get
but
the,
that is,
we get
they
the
own
point.
That.
That so, in terms of geography, they probably do. You know the key to that, Stephen? The parents. And when they're in the Dragons program, they're coming through from the 15s and the 16s and the 18s, whatever they're doing, get in with the parents. Keep them sweet. Look after them. And then when little Mark Stevens has gone over to the Giants for 2 years or to Fremantle for 2 years and he's going okay, but he'd probably prefer to be home with mum and dad. Get in touch with mum and dad. Say, how's my little Mark Stevens going? Is he any chance of coming home? And they'll put some pressure on. They'll help out. Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
By the way, off the SMS, Tommy says, Koshy still goes pretty good when it turns, in terms of impact. That's probably fair.
He does.
That's probably fair. He's Koshy probably or Cockers? Which one?
Well, Koshy's got a platform.
Well, I know he's got a platform, but Cockers goes hard.
Oh, he goes hard. So he's used to V8 sort of racing type operator, isn't he?
I reckon Cockers has still got Koshy covered, but Koshy's a good nomination.
But he did the entertainment. I interviewed his wife up there. They did the full entertainment for the game while we're in the hub. It was a big story. Cockers was on fire up there during the hub period.
What about our man just bringing back the hub days where he's just leeching off the whole competition? You almost single-handedly sent the competition broke.
No, there was...
That's what you did, Stephen.
The smorgasbords were good. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. Yeah.
You almost single-handedly destroyed the game.
The bar was only open 6 to 8.
Oh, you're poor
probably
bastard.
For good reasons. Can you imagine all those journos together if they kept open till midnight? Anyway.
Meanwhile, us idiots could only walk to the letterbox.
Yeah. So, anyway, do we feel for Stewie Cremery? I think Backpage, Herald Sun, I do. He was a real victim of that drug saga, wasn't he? He says, look, I would have played in 16. He was out suspended. He went to the Dogs and the carry on. The flow on from that saga really affected him. So, of course, injury could have hit or whatever, but Bob Murphy was a sad story that day, probably a lot sadder than Stewie Cremery, but... Crammer's Mr. Flag. So there's a real fallout.
Yeah, well, the 10-year anniversary is today since the blackest day in Australian sport. And we spoke to Michael Warner yesterday, who's doing a hell of a lot of work, did a podcast with Robbo up online at the Herald Sun, I think, or Real Super Footy, whatever it is. If you want to listen to all that, to relive the moments and the 10 years since for the Bombers. But, yeah, a big double-page spread for Stewie Cremery today. And these are the stories, Steve, that you forget. Because you don't think about the flow-on effect and what happened to the players that had moved clubs. And like, that is the ultimate kick in the agates, isn't it? Like, get suspended, go to another club, and that club plays in a grand final and wins a premiership. Mm. Like, that is Plum City, that is. That's no good.
No good.
No good.
Underrated player, powerhouse, Crammers on his day.
Now, the Owl's been keeping abreast of the NBA situation for us
Yes,
going on.
We heard the blockbuster news yesterday, of course, with Kyrie Irving joining Luka Doncic in Dallas in a trade. Now, there's some more speculation surrounding the Brooklyn Nets, and this is from Stephen A. Smith, and I quote, by the way, I'm hearing that he, Durant, is on the verge of potentially being moved. Obviously, we'll all be speculating about that, that he may be moved. I've been on the phone. I'm hearing Boston is making calls.
Oh, boy. KD to Boston.
Keep your eye on that. That's a in quote there from Stephen A. Smith. So KD at the C's. How do you like those apples, half?
Well, I think those apples are pretty tasty. For some long-term investment opportunities, I think those apples are pretty tasty. The Celtics are going pretty well without KD, but you throw him into the roster, into the lineup, there might just be a little bit more of a kick in the pants there.
Now, on the flip side, they will have to give up something significant if he is to be traded. So, Jaylen Brown has been mooted
talks. No, we're keeping
Well, you've got to give up something good to get something, don't you?
Yeah, we'll give away our next 15 first-round picks.
And just some breaking news as well. Oleg Markov has apparently replaced Lydia Thorpe in the Greens.
Well, he's a man in demand.
He's got some opportunities, that man.
Man in demand.
A little bit of politics thrown in there by the hour. I quite like that.
She's outspoken, Lydia. She picked the Greens and then just dumped them and said, I'll go on my own. So if you pick a team, you should have to stick with that team for the term. This is too political.
I don't know what you're talking about. This is a foreign language to me. It's a foreign language. I saw her on the TV before, Lydia. It's the only reason I know who she is. But I don't know what you're talking about. Thank you, Al. KD to the Celtics. That's big news in the world of NBA basketball. Gee, there'd be some salary cap relief going at the Brooklyn Nets with Kyrie and KD taking off.
KD and Jason Tatum. Not a bad 1-2 punch.
Much. Thank you very much. And Stephen, nice work from you.
Pleasure. Keep an eye on the Suns.
Well, we will be keeping an eye on the Suns.